Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
We had made the point that I agree with your take. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is the next three games. I kind of feel that same way about next year. And that doesn't mean they're automatically guaranteed to suck. What I mean is I don't think the quarterback's going to be the thing that levels you up next year. Somehow, as low as a bar as I had set early in the show, somehow the Albert thing depressed me more.
Got me inspired.
Why?
Are you kidding me? What?
Fields versus Deshaun Watson?
Not Justin Fields versus Deshaun Watson. More the idea that Albert seems to think that a lot of the pieces are in place. He seems to think that the idea that you could go from a 3-win team back to being an 11-win team isn't impossible. Like, I don't know. I left feeling like, all right, maybe next year isn't going to be just completely dead in the water. That was motivating. Now, he might just end up being dead wrong, Nick. But, like, I hadn't heard many people talk the way that Albert talked right there.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody believes it. And I don't know where Albert gets that confidence
from. He's got, his optimism faucet is all the way turned on. Like, yeah. Every time he comes on, I feel like I just leave thinking, let's run through a brick wall with this team. I don't know why he's the only one expressing this, but he's the only one expressing it.
Well, so here's really the math problem that I keep coming into.
Okay.
You still have some of the core guys. You had Winston, Fansky, and Barry took over. Most importantly, it's Miles and it's Denzel. The problem is that you've lost a few, like Nick Chubb is no longer Nick Chubb. Baker obviously is gone and now replaced with, this just cacophony of nightmares that they have at quarterback. I just wanted to say cacophony of nightmares.
It sounded nice when you did it. I riffed and it felt like it fit. Cacophony.
And like even the guys that we thought.
God
like,
bless you.
I don't know JOK is going to play again. I can't.
That sucks is the idea that JOK was such an added important new part of this. Jerry Judy's an added new important part of this too, though.
The problem is MJ Emerson. Like, if you had asked me going into this year, in a year, if MJ Emerson does what he's done the first 2 years, if MJ can do it for a third year, would you be comfortable moving on from Denzel in the name of salary or whatever, or if somebody gives you a trade to get some more assets, would you be comfortable with MJ being your number one? Yes. Now, I don't know you can have the kid out there again. Like, that's how bad it's gotten.
We're really banking on the idea that he's actually been injured this entire time and they just weren't aware, but I don't believe that to be true.
So I'm so struggling with this, but to me, my idea was, if you say, well, Deshaun's in the room, but Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think Kirk Cousins still has it? Nah, probably not. But would I be intrigued with Kirk plus Kevin to see what they could do?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, do I think Kevin Stefanski might be the one guy that can get Mac Jones to be good? Or any of these guys? Yeah, hypothetically. The problem is, you're still going to be selling Mac Jones versus Deshaun Watson. or Daniel Jones versus Deshaun, or Justin Fields versus Deshaun.
It's not even that fight to me, because that fight to me, it's not a fight, because I don't think Deshaun's winning any of those battles, Nick. To me, it's how do you sell Mac Jones versus Lamar Jackson? How do you sell Mac Jones versus Patrick Mahomes? How do you sell Mac Jones versus Joe Burrow? And that's the problem I have.
I don't think you sell it at all.
It's just that's the hard part that I have in all these discussions. Is that it's the same problem I'd have if I was a Steelers fan trying to figure out how Pittsburgh ends up in the Super Bowl. Yep. You can't.
But see, I think this is the problem. I think the Browns have existed in... I think there has been a recency bias. Like, so much of the urgency to move on, and I'm not trying to continue to make it back to this, so much of the urgency to move on from Baker was, we don't want to pay him top dollar, and we don't want to waste this window with Myles Garrett and Denzel, right?
Yeah, well, they were trying to go for it, and they were trying to win Super Bowls. It was a noble exercise. They just bet extremely wrong.
And the problem is, good luck talking people... You can't say, well, we're going to go from Baker to Deshaun to now Mac Jones versus Deshaun. Like, you're not just taking a step back to where you were when you had Baker. You're taking another three or four steps back.
Yeah, but I mean, Nick, I mean, as much as I want to, you know, hammer him for the decisions that they're going to make here, the problem is that there's no easy solution, because there's nobody in the draft that you can take when you're picking at 5 or 6.
That's why I think it's a two-year situation.
And you might end up being right, but it's one of those scenarios where I look around and it's like I don't see an answer for him, but I don't want them to just sit there and say, well, let's take our ball and go home either.
Well, okay, so because again, I think the most likely thing, and I'm going to say Mac Jones because he's playing right now in Jacksonville, he's kind of a guy that's just getting the starting job. I think he's playing well enough to defend this kind of move of Mac versus Deshaun and a rookie, right? Or DTR and a Mac and whatever. The best case scenario in that gets you back to 8 and 9. The problem is they're going to sell that as a step in the right direction. The problem is it's still probably going to be the best case scenario a year after that. Like where this thing is going, if we do Justin Fields versus Deshaun, is probably just good enough to not get an Arch Manning or a Drew Aller or one of the, you know, whoever you think is going to be one, two or three of the best quarterbacks a year from now.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have a roster that you're like, okay, well now Miles is another year older. Now Denzel is another year older and maybe another concussion in the bank there. I'm starting to like look at the math here and I'm like, All right. Like, I feel like I looked at this first. If now we're setting it, now you're not even going to do a Kirk Cousins. Now you're not even going to do it, and I'm just using this word.
That's why they have to take these chances, Nick, is only because the only way out is if you have a Jared Goff situation, a Sam Darnold situation, one of these situations that you can't predict going into it, this is how it's going to turn out. And whether that's Kirk Cousins, whether that's Justin Fields, the only way you get a franchise quarterback, if you're not doing it through the draft, is you have to take somebody that nobody else already believes in, everyone else has cast it off, and be able to make them be great. So anytime you're entering a season with that expectation, Nick, you're not going to bet. No one's betting on this to work. That's impossible.
Well,
but it's the only way out that they have, and so they have to at least take a stab at it.
So yes, but the concern is that you hit down the middle. If it's the extreme,
I see what you're saying.
If you take Mac Jones, you're back to 3 and 14.
Then you can make another quarterback next year.
But you can draft a quarterback, and that's a 3-year process, right? It's a 2-year process now. But that's 2 years of let's dig in, let's see what we can do with this quarterback. But that's only if you're exceptionally bad.
Well, but you say hit the middle, and what I agree with you is that yes, you can hit the middle, and then you wake up 7 years later, and you're what the Steelers have been for the previous 7 years.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
It's not something I want. I know people are like, oh, be the Steelers. I don't want that. I don't want to go 7 years without a playoff win.
Doesn't this year disprove that they can be the Steelers and be exceptionally mediocre time after time?
I don't think they can just snap their fingers and do that.
Yeah, I mean, well, but what I mean is,
but that would have meant that if they went 8 and 9, they would have shown actual growth somewhere.
That's a fair thing to be concerned. I think my problem is you go 8 and 9, 6 and 11. Like, you could get lost in that middle of the NFL shuffle where you're no closer to being a competitor every year. And in fairness, you're not just no closer to being a competitor every year, you're not really any closer to getting a quarterback. And like, that's the danger. And by the way, you think we're pissed now about completely biffing the window on Miles and Denzel's career and all this? You think we're mad now? Wait till you have a couple 6 and 11 seasons in a row and you're not any closer to that quarterback dalliance. Because again, the Deshaun situations don't come up. So it's going to have to be the draft one way or another in the future. Or you're just going to have to, again, hope that Mac Jones...
Or you're going to have to turn somebody that has been forgotten left behind.
You know who you're going to be?
That's what you're going to have to do.
The Seattle Mariners. You remember what Jerry DePoto said that got everyone, I mean everyone,
furious? Haven't won a playoff game since 2001.
I mean, well, but Jerry DePoto, when he was asked, you know, hey, you guys missed the playoffs this year, haven't won a playoff game since 2001, his response was, in a 10-year window, we want to try and win 54% of the games.
Yeah, yeah.
That's effectively what I think you're going
for. Well, that was the old Reinsdorf mentality. That was the same thing Reinsdorf said.
Unless you luck into a quarterback, I just can't place a lot of luck.
Okay, you took me down the baseball path and the Mariners path, so I want to explore it for a second. The idea there that they're all doing is they're just trying to sell being competitive. That was the whole deal behind what Reinsdorf said, that then trickled into the exact same thing that Jerry ended up saying, DePoto this way, not Reinsdorf. It was all the idea of being competitive.
A lot of Jerry.
A lot of Jerry. Why are there so many Jerrys in charge? But that's the whole basis of that, is like, how do we convince a team or convince a group of people that we're trying to be competitive? I think for the Browns, it's different. I think the Browns know they have to have a great quarterback in order to do anything, especially in this division where you have Lamar, you have Burrow, and you have, right now, Russell Wilson with the Steelers. You have to have great quarterback play in the AFC North. So what you're going to do is you're going to take a stab at somebody, and you're going to have to take somebody that right now, and entering the season, we all think kind of stinks, and you're going to have to turn them into being great.
I think my concern
is... It's the only way out.
I think my concern is you're going to have to... The only way out of the cycle of mediocrity, I think, my fear is not stepping into a cycle of suck. This sucks this year, right? My concern is stepping into a cycle of mediocrity. And that is so much harder. You know how when the Browns were stuck at perpetually 5-11 for 2 decades?
Yeah.
It's easy to get stuck there. It's just as easy to get stuck in 7-10, 8-9 with no real path out. That gets as many coaches fired as 3-14.
Again,
does.
You're describing the Steelers, right? At pick 17 is when they got Kenny Pickett, if that's right, if I remember correctly. Pick 17. They
had it's 20, remember?
Was it 20?
I think so.
I knew it was somewhere in between. So in a spot you don't want to be picking quarterback, though,
yes.
Right? But they had to in that spot. Kenny Pickett was dead on arrival, but he was the quarterback they had to take in that moment. It was like, you have to take him. You got 17-20, and they've been living in this 7-8-9-10 win window for how long? And they got lucky that a guy like Russ even existed, but it's so hard to get out of that. I call it basketball hell. Could you see NBA teams fall into this all the time? Where there's
the Chicago Bulls.
The Bulls are there. They exist. They're in basketball hell where you're just in that spot of mediocrity. There's no way up that you can possibly go.
And there's not really a way down.
Yeah, it's just never going to really materialize that way. It's an awful spot to be in. But that's why we got to talk about with Stefanski and some of these other moves. Is that, like, if we think Stefanski can do things with the quarterback, now's your chance. Go show us. Pick out your Mac Jones. Pick out whatever guy you want. Pick whichever one you want that we right now thinks kind of suck and turn them into something that is good again.
So what's crazy about all of this is I came in thinking we got to lower the bar collectively on what a quarterback... I said C-plus might be the best you can get this offseason. And I think after hearing Albert's answer, I thought to myself, man, you might have to even bump it. You might have to bump it down to C-. That is even more sobering than I was ready for.
I still looked at it as a positive. I thought Albert was like, you're not that far away. You just have to have a quarterback, which,
you're
as we know,
paint.
Is the hardest. I might be. Is that what that smell in the hallway
you haven't
was?
Been the same since your computer got destroyed. 216-474-0092. Is there a quarterback that can change? We're talking about the quarterback itself. Getting this quarterback changes your ability to compete next year. Instead of going, I don't know, 7-10, James, BP, John, you guys next on 92.3 The Fan. And I just want to say that what you're going through with your bachelor week at your house is so life-affirming for me and every other married guy who, when we hear our wife and our kids are going away for like a week, we're like, I'm going to be in the prime of my life. I'm going to do everything I never get to do with my family gone. And then every time it's happened to me, I have been the biggest bump on the log. All I do is miss my wife and kids.
Yeah.
And then I do none of the things that I was planning on doing.
I've hated every minute of it, Nick. And leading up to it, a lot of people, I tell them, I'm like, oh, I got, yeah, you know, wife is gone, baby's gone, it's going to be a week, and then they get excited for me. You can tell they get excited for me, and I'm like, no, this is going to be the most bored week I've ever been in my life, and I knew it was going to happen. And then now, I'm not even trying at this point. I got a buddy of mine inviting me over to come have dinner, and I'm like, ah, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think I'm just, it's an incredible how I'm just committed to doing nothing right now.
So what's crazy, so one, I think there's so many married guys out there that are in lockstep with how just useless and pathetic we become without our wife and children around. But two, it gets more like pathetic the closer the person is that you turn down. Like when
it's a 5-minute drive.
Yeah, no. See,
I could go there.
When it's a 30-minute drive, you can say like it's 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back.
Yeah, he's like, I know you got no one at the house right now. I know you're all by yourself. Yep. We'll hang out. We'll have some fun. And I'm like, yeah, had a lot on my plate tonight.
Yeah, 10-minute round trip. Oh, that's gonna.
I'm like, I got a lot on my plate tonight.
That's gonna cut into my feeling sorry for myself time. I just don't think I can do it.
It was, you know, the saddest part is so they left on Sunday morning, and so Sunday I was like, oh. I ordered way too much pizza. I was so excited. I'm like, I'm going to have all this pizza. I got all football, everything. And then I ordered two different extra large pizzas for myself. Why did I do that? I have no idea. And then I had the most pathetic display of eating pizza you'd ever have in your life. I ate three pieces and was done. I made this whole day around like, I'm going to have both TVs going with the football. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to eat a bunch of pizza and just kind of pig out and whatever. I ate three pieces, closed the box, and then that was it for me.
One of my neighbors in Charlotte used to call me. He said that he referred to me as sad bastard, Nick, because I used to walk all around their neighborhood, which in our little conclave in the back of this neighborhood in Charlotte was like about four and a half miles if I walked it both ways. Mm-hmm. So, but I would always walk by his house, and it'd be like, and I always knew when Vanessa and the girls weren't there because you walk slower. He's like, you walk like the Undertaker. There's no joy. You just kind of have your head down. It's like a couple times, like he invited me, like because they had in Charlotte, there's a lot more of those like garages. They turn into awesome bars, and they were big Boston fans. They had a really cool setup, and I'd just be like, nah, no thanks. I'm just gonna finish my walk. And he's like, I was legitimately concerned for you. Like I was gonna go over and ask for your belt. Like that's the level of concern. But I always knew. When Ness and the girls were away, because it's the only time that you were just like, I just don't think I can.
The worst part I can do it. Is my wife's like, all right, you can watch all the shows that you want to watch that she doesn't necessarily care for and all these things. And so last night she's like, what are you watching? Are you watching Ted Lasso? What are you watching? And I'm like, no, I've just put on football games and I've done nothing. Yeah. I've accomplished nothing. I've done nothing. I'm watching the Bears lose by a million. It's not great.
But this is, so for you and me specifically, this is exactly the reminder on why we should just worship our wives and our children and just remember this, because we would be miserable single men. All we would do is work. Yeah. Like, granted, all I kind of do is work now, but I at least have them to be like, Dad, we're going to go pick out a Christmas tree. Okay. And I love every second of it. I never would have gone to Jamaica without Vanessa, like, being like, I really want to go to Jamaica. Okay,
they make you be active participants in life. That's the real story here, right? Without them, we do nothing. We accomplish nothing.
Yes.
We basically cease to exist.
And these little siestas are nice reminders that we are useless without our wives.
Yeah, I could do a lot, you know, I could deal without a lot of the sunshine photos that she's sending me, though.
Oh, man.
I got a lot of sunset photos, a lot of photos of them looking like they're having a blast.
Now I got to put Vanessa on blast, because what she used to do is she would take the fun pictures, but then she would also complain about it. You know, like complain about the kids being difficult, and I'd be like,
oh, no, that's nice.
It's like, all I want in my life is to have those difficult little bleeps here.
Oh, you see, I'd kill for some complaints right now from my wife. It's just all sunshine and rainbows. I'm like, throw me in hey, our daughter had a fit this morning and was hard to deal with. And then I could be like, that's right. I'm here by myself and I'm living it.
It's a living wake. You're seeing what's going to happen. This is the ghost of future, of Christmas future, whatever the hell it is. I'm butchering the Dickens reference here. But this is why you can't die, or why you can't.
I was gonna say, it's a good thing I'm clearly going to die before her.
Yeah,
because I could not function afterwards.
Well, no, at that point, Charlotte's got to be old enough that she can just take care of you.
That's true. That's a good point.
Like my grandpa right now, my grandma's been a little sick, but he's got my aunt and my grandma living with him.
Mm-hmm.
The man's a king. The man lifts no fingers because everybody's just like, hey, can I get you something? Can I get you something? And I'm like, that's the win right there. That's the win. Grandpa's got it figured out. He always has it figured out. That's my grandpa. 216-474-0092.
This isn't the mayor, is it?
This is the mayor.
That's
the mayor of Lodi, Ohio.
I love that you have someone in your life that you guys call the mayor. I think that's so cool.
And here's the thing.
Like, he's Sean Casey.
Here's the thing. If you knew my grandpa, there'd be no doubts the man has been the mayor of a town. He is the mayor of every room he walks in. He's like when you see like an old politician. Wow, that was not great. Sorry, Grandpa. When you see somebody like a presidential figure that still comports themselves presidentially, and you're like, I see how that guy got elected. That is my grandpa.
Is it once a mayor, always a mayor? Is that the mentality there?
I think so.
Like, yeah. If you're just mayor once, then you're always just mayor.
Yeah, like the man can talk to anyone, be happy to. He's always super interested. Like, he really is the most interesting man in the world. And he's more dapper than me. He's better looking than me. He's clearly in better health than me at 84. Mm. He's just better than me in every way. And I just have to sit here and be like, okay. I'm more engaging than I am. The man's just better than me. I just have to accept that.
Yeah, sometimes it works out that way.
These things happen. We were talking about whether there's a quarterback. That got bleak real quick. Is there a quarterback?
Not for me, it didn't.
That can change.
You just got outclassed by an 84-year-old, but that's
Browns,
okay.
Hey, there's a lot of great 84-year-olds still roaming this earth. Thank you very much.
Yes, there are.
That can change the Browns' fortunes. Let's go with BP and Pepper Pike. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you both doing?
What's up, BP?
Doing very well. What you got?
Good. I've learned a lot about both your families here in the last segment. Good stuff.
Hopefully it's good stuff.
Yeah, but I did want to go back to the Albert Breer interview. I thought I agree with Jonathan, he was a lot more optimistic than I thought he was going to be about the Browns' fortunes. I mean, it's been such a rotten season, but to hear a national guy say, hey, it's not so bad here, it was a little bit encouraging. But going back to like your thoughts, you guys have mentioned Justin Fields, you mentioned Mac Jones. I mean, I agree, those kind of guys I do want to, you know, kick the tires on. But I'm going to mention one more name, and you're probably going to say no. And it might be, when you go back to Stefanski, he was in Minnesota when Kirk Cousins was having some good years. And I still think, I don't want to give up on this core of guys, you know, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, even Nick Chubb, you know, Judy now, you know, hopefully JOK is ready to go next year, Delpit. I mean, I think there's talent here. I really do. So I would like to see what they could do with a guy like Kirk Cousins. And when you think about it, yeah, he's 36, 37 years old, but his first couple of years, he didn't play in the NFL. He was the backup to RG3. I don't know what's going on with him in Atlanta. Like last night, I think he threw the ball 17 times or something. It was really weird. So they must think there's something going on with him. They got maybe he's physically not right, or maybe they think he's washed up a little bit. But I think the Browns could get Kirk Cousins. And I think under Stefanski, you know, if Stefanski comes back, it looks like he is. I mean, I think that possibly could be like a bridge quarterback. And then again, I'm looking towards the 2026 draft. That's when I think we'll find our quarterback.
Yeah, but BP, the only problem with that, as Nick has pointed out here, is the idea that if Kirk Cousins gets you to 8 or 9 wins, then you're not going to be drafting in a spot well enough for the 2026 draft.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, again, Kirk Cousins, actually, he could be really bad, too. And then he could get you to, like, you'll be a top 3 or 4 pick next year. It's almost, but at least, you know, you'll do it without all the horrible turnovers that Jameis Winston's giving you and all the, I mean, because you can't, when you look at Winston's stats, he's got, you know, 12 touchdowns and 13 interceptions or something. It's just ugly. Where at least Mac Jones or, you know, those guys take care of the ball a little bit better. So at least there's potential. At least it gives the fan base something, too. I mean, 9-8 sounds pretty good around here. Or, you know, 8-9 or 7-10. But with Winston, I think it's just going to be 3-14 again. I don't think the Browns can live with the way, you know, the turnover has been horrible. But Mac Jones, you know, you remember he once torched the Browns when he was with the Patriots. He killed us back in 2021. Again, that's a long time ago, but I think there's potential there. I think he probably would do well under Stefanski. I, like, a year ago, back in March of 2024, I thought the Browns should have looked into Justin Fields. I thought they made a huge mistake. Just, you know, and the Bears, you know, gave him away for a 6th-round pick. So, I mean, I like some of the ideas you guys have mentioned, but I don't want to just, you know, give up on the Browns. And I don't know what they're going to do with Watson. That's like the $64 million question.
Mm-hmm. BP, so there's a few things, buddy. We appreciate your call, okay? Merry Christmas. Happy
you too,
holidays.
Guys. Take care, Nick. Take care, John.
Thank you so much. I'm already doing it. I can't help it. I love the holidays so much. I'm going to tell everybody happy holidays.
BP's a happy Hanukkah guy, by the way.
Well, no, that's why I said that's why I went to happy holidays, because I remembered. Not everybody.
That was the same. So, yeah, club's sticking a save by you. Good job.
Trying to. So this is the perceptional thing that I'm talking about. Jameis's interceptions, massive problem. No one's saying they're not. Kirk Cousins has thrown 16 this year. Mac Jones in his best season in New England threw 13 to 22 touchdowns, and Mac has 7 interceptions this year.
Hey, Mac did make a Pro Bowl in a year where he beat out Josh Allen.
Don't make me do the Pro Bowl thing.
People don't forget. Hey, he beat out Josh Allen, though.
Don't make me bleep all over.
That was the year that Josh Allen went to the AFC title game, by the way. That was an interesting season for Josh Allen.
Is there a quarterback out there that can change the Browns' fortunes in 2025? That, and in case we missed it on 92.3 The Fan.